Morning, everyone. The passage this morning is one that is very familiar to all of us, the passage from 1 Corinthians 12 about the parts of the body. And it's a passage that we have heard proclaimed in the sanctuary for many, many years, and it is one that reminds us that we are, as one body, created very differently, one from another. Each one of us possess individual gifts and talents, and it is important for us to learn how to work together within those gifts and talents. You've probably heard this sermon preached, the scripture preached in that way, that it is a time for us to recognize the diversity of the body, see our gifts and talents, and work together for the common good. But it's important for us to think about the context of the passage because that gives to it a different kind of power. You see, when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, he wrote to a church that was deeply divided. The church itself was at war with each other. The different parts of the church were struggling to understand how they could be together because they were so very different. There were those parts of the body at the time in the Corinthian church who believed that their spiritual gifts elevated them above all of the rest. They were the ones who were to lead and to guide. And those whose jobs were not as important, they were not to be taken as seriously. There were folks who in the Corinthian church had come to a place where they were practicing their faith in ways that were different one from another. And they began to war over those differences, saying, my practice is better than your practice, and my practice should be common for us all. And there were others whose practices were told that they were not important and not a part of the working of the body and told to be quiet. And there was as well in the church a way in which they struggled to understand how the church could function in the secular world around it. They struggled to see how that church could survive through all of the influences that were coming in from the community that was around it. So much immoral living around it that they wondered how those influences would come into the church. And there were those who began to bring those influences from the Corinthian church into the body of Christ. And there was conflict over that. And so then the passage, if you think about and read the passage from that point, what you realize is that Paul was not just saying we need to recognize our differences and learn how to work together. Even more powerfully, the passage itself is intended to bring people who are in conflict with one another to the realization that they need each other. That as much as they might say in their conflict, we have no need of you, that we are created as a body by God in just the way that we have been drawn together, and as such come to discover that we don't get to choose those parts of the body that we may not think are important. That what we recognize is that we are the body of Christ in all of its diversity. And when we are at war with one another, what we miss is that we belong to each other, that we need each other for the full functioning of the body. And that if one part of the body is suffering, then we are all suffering. But when we are able to rejoice, when one part is rejoicing, we will all rejoice together. Now, when we hear the passage from that point of view, it holds a different kind of power for us, doesn't it? Because we all know how that feels in our lives, because we have experienced times when the body that we are a part of is in conflict with each other. Maybe it is as we think about the ways in which we live in this world, when we think about how we are a part of a community, when we think about the way we are governed in our cities, when we think about how we are together in family, when we think about how we function as a church. It is easy for us to be able to say that when we are in agreement with one another, that we can work together in harmony. But what we realize is that we are often not in agreement. And what we find instead is the challenge, how do we work through our conflicts? How do we find ourselves recognizing the giftedness of others, even when their gifts are very different than ours? How are we going to find a way to acknowledge a reality that we sometimes miss and want to set aside, and that is that we need each other for the full functioning of the body? We must do what we can do, but we need others who can bring the gifts that they would bring. And for us to think that we can somehow say that parts of the body that we are a part of are not important, it's so easy for us to just deny that and say somehow those parts of the body, they are not not a part of the functioning of the body as we would live it and breathe it and see it. As we started the worship service this morning, Sharon was talking about a story related to the city council and how powerful it is for us to believe that our civil servants can do what they feel is best for the body, and that the body begins to war with itself, so much so that those parts of the body are feeling threatened. Isn't that the way that we tend to deal with those kinds of conflicts in our community? That we would rather find ourselves sitting with those who are in agreement with us and trying to amputate those parts of the body that we feel are unimportant and are unnecessary. Or maybe it is that we might think about it this way as well, that it's just best for us to silence those parts of the body that are crying out to be recognized and to be recognized as a part of the giftedness of that body. And instead what we do is we push it aside and silence it so that it does not disturb the peace that we are trying to create. How powerful it is to hear Paul use those words with the Corinthian church and realize that those words are intended for us as well. When we think about the ways in which we are living in these times, we realize that we are in a place where we would like to carve off different parts of ourselves because we cannot find a sense of agreement. When we think about our political process and we war with one another because we cannot find common ground to stand on and would rather say we would just huddle with those who are in agreement with us and we'll push aside those who are not a part of the body as we would recognize it. And that what we would find instead is that we would allow the body to suffer greatly in conflicts such as this. I know that many of us are seeing the rise of people like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump and asking ourselves, how could that be in the times that we are living in? And come to realize that they are speaking for a body that is hurting and feels like it's not being addressed in its need, feeling like somehow they have been silenced by a political process that is built more on being right than serving the common good. And struggling to find a voice, and then finding in someone like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump someone who would articulate the pain that people are feeling today. It reminds us that we are all one body. We are all members of that body together. And until we can honor one another and know that our part in that body is so very necessary, what we will find is that we will continue to be at war with each other. I likened it the other day to, as we were talking in staff meeting, I likened it the other day to a body that has an autoimmune disease. That we are attacking tissue that is healthy and trying to say that it's disease and there's something wrong with it and we need to cut it away, when in fact we need to heal our body and find ourselves living into what we have been created to be, a body very diverse and yet so very much in need of one another. Think about that not just in our government. Think about it in our church. How so many churches want to have peace and quiet. They want things to be smooth and harmonious. They want things to go well within the community. And yet, I wonder sometimes if the church that strives for harmony and for quiet is also a church that is dying on the inside. And that it is in the body of Christ, as we recognize the giftedness of each part of the body, that what would come from that is energy and enthusiasm and excitement that begins to stir up the body and enable it to do things that we can't even begin to imagine that it might do. And come to discover in that, that there is a way for us to live within a community that may not always be in agreement, but find that it is in that that the body is stimulated to new heights, that we might find that we would be able to achieve great things by being able to live in just that way. Look at our family lives. Think about the ways that we operate in families and how easy it is for us to say, well, that part of the body, we don't agree with that part of the body, so we will cut it away and think that it's not important. I know somebody who's two brothers who have been in a family argument for over 20 years. And when you talk to the brother, one of the brothers, you would hear ways in which this brother would say, I'm fine. I'm not worried about it. We don't talk to each other. We don't have any communication with each other, but I'm fine. Everything is fine. And yet, even as he says, everything is fine, you can feel his pain because of the brokenness in his life. He comes to the conclusion that he does not need that part of the body, but it destroys him every single day. And so in our family lives as well, we know that that is a part of the life that we are living together, expressing and living inside of a great diversity, recognizing that we are all a part of the body that was given to us, the body called our family. And if we are going to live together, then it is to honor each part of the body, even as we might not agree with it. Finding ways to live together, even when we may not always be on the same page. Finding ways to accentuate and to lift up the giftedness of each one of us, though we are all very different. What a challenge it is for us today to lift up this thought as we are celebrating in the church Peace with Justice Sunday. And I think it's an interesting thing that in the Methodist Church, it is called Peace with Justice. When we think about the word peace, it is easy for us to acknowledge peace as that which is a harmonious state that we are all able to be together. But when we use the words peace with justice, it reminds us that peace is not created by silencing parts of the body that are crying out to be recognized. That peace with justice means that we can only find peace when we are able to acknowledge the giftedness of each part of the body, and that those parts of the body that are feeling like they are dispossessed, when they feel like they don't belong, when they feel like their gifts are not recognized, when their voices are not heard and they are crying out to be recognized, peace with justice reminds us that we will only find a true peace, not by the absence of conflict, but by an ability to recognize and honor each part of that body and be able to say that we can work together for a full functioning of that body. We've been asked by folks to talk a little bit about the General Conference. Many of you know that there was a small group of us who went to General Conference a couple of weeks ago. And folks have been asking us, well, tell us what happened at General Conference. There's so much to be able to say. There's so many ways that we can articulate the work of the General Conference. In the United Methodist Church, the General Conference is an every four-year gathering where United Methodist leaders from around the globe gather together to develop legislation that would enable the church to function fully as a body. But what we recognize is, as a denomination, though we can proclaim we are the third largest denomination in the world, that at the same time what we recognize is that our body is dying in so many ways. In this last General Conference, there were many pieces of legislation, much that came out that we were able to celebrate, but the main issue and the one that influenced so much of the working of the General Conference was issues related to LGBT communities, gay and lesbian and transgender folks who are a part of the body of Christ, but feel that they are not honored and respected as a part of the body. They are not recognized for the gifts that they could bring to the body called the United Methodist Church. And so if you look at the cover of the worship bulletin, there are pictures of different ways that the body was crying out to be recognized. People who felt that their voices were not being heard, that they were not honored to be honored as part of the body, and not felt feeling so much like they were trying to be excised, cut away from the body, saying that they were not important to the functioning of that body. And so as they gathered together for General Conference, there were over 100 pieces of legislation that had to do with either strengthening the Book of Discipline, which now says that gay and lesbian lifestyle is incompatible with Christian teaching, and as well says that United Methodist pastors cannot marry gay and lesbian couples, and as well says that gay and lesbian persons cannot be ordained in the United Methodist Church. And the body itself was crying out for a new way to go forward as a church. We knew it that it was not a problem that could be legislated away, because legislation means that there is a victor and there is a loser. And we knew that that was not going to solve the issue of a part of the body that felt it was crying to be recognized, to be honored, and to be brought into a full functioning of the body so that we together might understand how the body can proclaim the ministry of Jesus Christ in our United Methodist Church in a powerful way. And so the floor of the General Conference came to a place where they cried out to the Council of Bishops to lead. They said the legislation won't get us where we need to go. We need to find a way forward. And so the bishops were dealing with that request at the same time that there were many voices that said, we just need to split the United Methodist Church. There was a rumor that was moving around the General Conference that said, the best way for us to move forward is to split the church. And so there was great fear amongst folks at the General Conference that that would somehow be the legislation that would come forward, that there would be a commission created to split the United Methodist Church about this issue related to gay and lesbian persons. But instead, the Council of Bishops came up with a commission and a study, not to split the church, but to find a way forward. They said, we will create a commission that will study this issue. And for the next 2 years, we will, instead of trying to create legislation, do what Wesley did. We will create holy conferencing where we will talk and listen, where we will be open to the perspectives of others, where we will experience relationship building, where we can come to find a better and a more full way for us to be together as a community. Now, for some folks in the General Conference, they said, gee, there goes those United Methodists again. We create a committee when we have a problem. And it is true in so many ways that there was a great deal of mistrust. There was great fear in the body. And yet, as we think about the passage, as we read it, and as we understand its context, what we realize is that our Council of Bishops were taking the initiative to lead. And in so doing, in creating this commission, what they said was, we know that legislation will not get us where we need to go because we are at war with each other. Instead, we will bring all parties to the table. And in our conferencing together, in our discussions, in our sharing, in our listening, in our speaking, in our openness, in our ability to share what is our perspective, but to listen to the perspectives of others, as we come with humility, as we honor each part of the body, we come together to find a new way forward. That is what Paul was asking the Corinthian church to do. That is what Paul is asking us to do in our government and in our church and in our family, to find a new way forward and to realize that we cannot cut away parts of the body that we don't agree with. We cannot cut away parts of the body that function in ways that we don't approve of. What we would do instead is to recognize all parts of the body and know that if we cannot work together, then we will all die together. And so our Council of Bishops said we need to come to a new way forward. And that is what Paul is asking the Corinthian church to do. And that is what Paul is asking us to do as well. When we think about our lives together with our families, in our community, with our government, in our church, that when we find ourselves not in agreement with each other, when we struggle to understand how each part of the body can be fully engaged to enable our body to be fully functioning, what we do is sit together, listen to one another, to come with not just our agenda and our opinion, but with humility, listen to one another, and to be able in those stories to hear that which makes us one body, that challenges us to work together in that body and enables us to see in that that we need one another to find a way forward. As I was explaining this yesterday in a committee meeting, an interesting thing happened that I thought was so powerful. In this committee that I was sitting with, the Congregational Care Committee, and someone in the meeting said, you know, Reverend Derek, we should follow what the General Conference is doing. And I said, well, what do you mean? The General Conference is going to develop a commission for the next 2 years to study these issues, to talk together, to reason together, to listen to one another, to talk about ways that we are one family, even as we might disagree about it. Maybe it is that we should create a commission here at Blaine Memorial where we can sit together to do the very same thing. How powerful it was for me to hear that from one of our lay leaders, because it reminds us as a church that we are a mirror to what is happening at General Conference. And that as much as we would ask the General Conference to do that for our entire denomination, we would also seek to do that very same thing here at Blaine Memorial, right amongst our community. Because as we look around this room, we realize that we have those same things happening here. We have conflicts that have been tucked away and put away to the side so that we don't have to see it. We have amongst us voices that are silenced, not being able to be who they were created to be, because they wonder if the community will accept them. We struggle to understand how a community as diverse as ours can recognize the individual gifts of each part of this body and be able to say that we need each other for the full functioning of this body. And maybe it would be that as we lift up that very same kind of holy conferencing that General Conference and our bishops are doing, that we would be able to see that here at Blaine Memorial, and that that would also be a way forward for our church's ministry as we look to the future. My prayer is that we would do just this. As we think about the ways that we are with our families, as we think about the ways that we are in our church, when we think about ways that we are a part of this community, as we think about the ways that we would vote in our government, that we would always speak about ways that we would be able to honor each other as parts of the body that are so necessary for its full functioning. When we can do that, we are at the threshold of the beginning of a new day. And my prayer is that we would see in that God's call for us to move forward in faith, to trust that God would lead us in a direction that would enable us to discover that full functioning, to honor the gifts of each other, and be able to know how we can work best with one another so that the body might fully live out its call to be the body of Christ in the world. And in that, come to find that way forward. My prayer is that we would hear the words of Paul to the church in Corinth and hear that word that comes from our General Conference and our Council of Bishops, and know that we would live that out in our lives here and now, in every family that we belong to, in every part of the body that we are a part of, that we might live that out fully and faithfully in all that we say and all that we do. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are thankful that you have created us in just this way. We know that we are a part of a greater body, that we have individual stories and individual gifts and individual talents. But you have reminded us this day that though there are ways in which we silence ourselves, and there are ways that we are silenced by the world that is around us that tells us that we are unimportant, that you have reminded us this day that we are a part of the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are challenged, O God, in this because we know that there is much conflict amongst us. It is so easy for us to just negate that conflict by saying it's not important, by saying there isn't anything that we can do about it, by saying that it is futile for us to even try to bring about a sense of understanding and a hope for the future. But Paul's words to the Corinthian church are words to us as well, that we might find in this a new call amongst us, that we might be able to live out this new reality, that we might, in the body that we have been placed in, be able to honor one another, that we might be able to hear each other's stories, that we might be able to listen to each other in a powerful way, and know that as we would do so, as we would honor those gifts and those stories and weave them into one body in Christ, that we would be at the threshold of a new day. We pray that you would give to us the courage to do just this. We know it's not easy, O God. We know it would be easier for us to just sit on the sidelines and wait and watch. And yet we are reminded, O God, that if we are to be the body of Christ fully functioning in the world, that it will take radical action. It will take great strength to respond, and it will take always a sense of hope in you and the vision that you give to us, both now and for the future. We pray, O God, that you would enable us to hear this message, that you would enable us to live that message out fully, and that you would enable us as your people to give thanks for the gift that we are and the part that we play in the body that is called the body of Christ for the world. We ask that you would guide us in this, strengthen us in this, challenge us in this, and enable us to live it out fully and faithfully in every word and action. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.